This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. Brought to you exclusively by Riverbank and Trust. Their service runs deep at Riverbank and Trust with convenient locations in Montgomery, Prattville, Wetumpka, Millbrook, Gadsden, Auburn, and Opelika. Now, here's ESPN's Tom Luganville on Sports Radio 740.
Luke, thanks so much for rearranging the schedule today and joining us early. Hope you've had a great weekend.
Well, I should be thanking you guys for accommodating me. I appreciate it. And I've been slammed with these two games a week schedules and got some content that I've got to meet deadlines on, so I appreciate the flexibility.
It was a relatively nondescript weekend in college football. I'm being charitable. You had Oklahoma versus Kansas on Saturday. And, Tom, your thoughts on that game, on Baker Mayfield, and the backlash about some of his gestures on the sideline. Your overall appraisal of all that.
Well, you know, I was standing about 20 yards from the whole thing. And what people have got to also realize is there was stuff that we couldn't show on TV. And what was caught on television was not replayed. I think people got to understand that that happened because it was live. The camera was on him. And I think, listen, for all of his competitive traits, all of the intangibles, I don't think there's any question he's going to walk away with the Heisman Trophy. He has got a real awareness problem. To be able to play the way that he plays, to make the plays that he makes, and to go to the sideline, I mean, guys, you just got to have some awareness. I mean, you're in major college football. You're the quarterback of the Oklahoma Sooners. And where do you think the camera is going to be after you throw a touchdown pass? And it's just, it was very disappointing. I'm all for trash talking and things of that nature, but when you start getting into lewd gestures and you start getting into taunting and you've lost all semblance of order in terms of controlling your emotions, that's a real problem. And the negative backlash that's come as a result of it, I think he's earned every bit of it.
You know, Tom, the Heisman Trophy goes to the best college football player. Should it also be the best college football player that conducts himself in the best way?
Well, unfortunately, the way the letter of the law is written out right now, that's not part of the equation. When you get your ballot, it says right on there, who is the most outstanding player in college football? And it doesn't say anything else. And so, to me, do some voters put that into the equation? Yeah, I think they do. I think they'd like to hold it to a standard that does include conduct and how you handle yourself. But by and large, I don't think this will have any impact on whether he wins the Heisman Trophy or not. I think more than anything else, it will have maybe a bit of an impact on the evaluation process as he moves on to the next level of how he's viewed and perceived by NFL coaches, scouts, and GMs.
Before the game started, what is Kansas thinking about? I mean, not shaking hands, taunting Oklahoma. They're a 40-point underdog, and they're acting like that?
Yeah, I tell you right now, and listen, just as Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, stated, it was chippy from the beginning. Kansas started it, but we're not an elementary school here. It doesn't matter who started it. But Kansas, for whatever reason, decided they weren't going to shake hands. And then things got compounded. I believe it was in the middle of the latter part of the second quarter with a completely flagrant attempt at targeting that the officials absolutely blew on the field and did not eject or call targeting against the Kansas defender who directly launched and went to the head or neck area of Baker Mayfield. And that was really, more than anything else, I think, what set him off, because Kansas played really, really good in the first half. There were two plays that Oklahoma made. In fact, Baker Mayfield made both of them. Aside from that, Oklahoma did nothing on offense. So they were frustrated, came out at halftime, and what occurred and what made the big news was in the middle of the third quarter, once Oklahoma scored that touchdown to Mark Andrews, and then all the fireworks ensued.
Tom Luganville is with us, ESPN. One of the other noteworthy games over the weekend. USC beats UCLA, and Jim Mora gets fired. Are you surprised, and why do you think that happened when it happened?
Well, I just think that they felt like it's time for us to be able to, in as quickly a manner as possible, get ourselves ready for the month of December and the month of January to have a chance to recruit it. You're in such a big state where you have such an identifiable name that you cannot let your crosstown rival have any more advantages than they already currently have. And I just, when you consider Jim Mora's background as a defensive coach, and when you see just how just unbelievably poor UCLA has become on defense, I think it was just time to cut bait, move forward. And I know that there's differing opinions on when to do it and things of that nature. Tennessee seemed to take a long time, and you know, we're still kind of waiting to see what's going to happen at Texas A&M and maybe some other places. But for UCLA, I think it has as much to do about recruiting, and maybe more so than it does for other places that may be looking for a head coach.
Of course, Tom, as you well know, it's a big week here in the state of Alabama with the Iron Bowl coming up on Saturday afternoon. Was there anything that you saw Saturday in Tuscaloosa or in Auburn that maybe changed your thoughts about maybe what you might thought would play out before they played on Saturday?
No, but I'll say this. I think it's going to be a big component to the game because I saw a little bit of it in the Mississippi State ball game with Alabama, and then I saw some of it with the Georgia-Auburn game. And that Auburn defensive front seven is capable of overtaking a game and overwhelming an opponent at the point of attack. And in doing so, they're capable of putting the game into the hands of the quarterback to win the game in the passing game, not as a runner. And we saw Mississippi State attempt to do that to Alabama, and you know what? Jalen Hurts answered the toll. We saw Auburn do that to Georgia, completely shut down their run game, put them behind the chains, and get them in second and third and long situations. And Jacob Fromm struggled to answer the toll. And I think that's going to really be the X factor of the game. How well can Jalen Hurts perform in the passing game if Alabama's not able to run the football at will?
Yeah, I believe a lot of people are feeling that way. If Auburn is able to contain Jalen Hurts when he can take off and run and make him pass the ball, I think that's going to be a big factor on Saturday. I think Auburn's defense, as we've seen over the last half of the season, has certainly emerged and is playing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Luganbill is with us. Tom, if we look at the compelling stars in that game, and you look at people who are trying to make who likely will make a difference in that game, I keep looking at the Alabama-Mississippi State game and Mississippi State's ability to run between the tackles against Alabama as the one harbinger of promise for Auburn. Is that a valid observation?
Yeah, I think it is, especially with Kerryon Johnson and how versatile he is. And you've heard me say this on multiple occasions throughout the season. They are not the same offensive team without him in the game because they're limited in terms of explosive run plays. You know, that's not what you get from a Cam Petway type of back. And so whether he's sitting beside Jarrett Stidham or he's the direct snap player, I think he's the focal point of Alabama's defense. You know, with Alabama and some of the youth and inexperience that is now having to take the field at the linebacker spot, and with the offensive approach from Auburn where you're going to have a lot of backfield movement, a lot of jet sweep motion, a lot of misdirection upon the snap, if you can put those Alabama defenders in a conflict of assignment to create some lanes in the run game, I think that could be a real advantage for Auburn. But at the end of the day, if there's one thing we've probably learned about Alabama, is they'll be ready to defend the run. They might not be as armed as we've seen them in the past because they're a bit thin right now, but they'll be ready to defend the run. Their mindset will be, if Auburn's going to beat us, Jarrett Stidham's going to have to do it. It can't be the Auburn run game.
Tom, your Final Four, anything going to change this week? And do you think it'll change, I don't know, maybe through the final ranking?
Well, I don't see any significant changes this week. You know, I believe the only that, you know, I think that Auburn should be at five in terms of the way that they're playing, the schedule that they've played. And, you know, and I've been very fortunate. I've now seen Alabama, Oklahoma, TCU, Wisconsin, Clemson. I've seen a lot of these teams. And I think Auburn right now, however the game plays out on Saturday, they're as equipped and playing as well as anybody, but they've got two losses. And we've got to acknowledge that. But as it stands right now, I still think the committee, and I would agree with this, is very, very concerned about the overall style of play in the Big 12. And if you had to play a really good team on defense and you had to stop somebody on defense, would you be able to hold up? That's my concern with Oklahoma, and I think it still is with the committee as well.
There it is, folks. Tom Luganville always spends about 20 minutes every week sitting still, and it's to talk with us. And there you had it. You've got Kent State Akron tomorrow night in the MAC, and then you've got Georgia Tech this weekend. Appraise Georgia's position.
Well, I tell you, is there anything worse than going into a championship weekend and having to play a triple option team? Oh, that happens to be your rival. Oh, that happens to be on the road. Oh, that happens to be against a team that probably underachieved this year. That is a dangerous, dangerous proposition. And so I think that, you know, Georgia's going to have to make the most of their opportunities on offense, because if Georgia, for whatever reason, maybe struggles to get off the field a little bit on defense, they might not have the ball as often as they're accustomed to. And so I think that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. In years past, especially most recently here, most of the troubles that Georgia Tech has caused for Georgia have happened in Athens. So maybe the home field advantage isn't as great for Georgia Tech in this particular matchup as people would perceive it to be.
It's going to be a fantastic week. It always is rivalry week in college football. Tom Luganville going to be all over it. And, Tom, as always, man, we appreciate your time. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you next Monday in our normal slot.
Sounds good. Same to you and yours. Take care.
All right, buddy. Tom Luganville joining us here today.
Okay, let's do it again.
I'd love to.
Listen for ESPN's Tom Luganville every Monday at 8:20 a.m. on Sports Radio 740 with John and Barry. Brought to you by Riverbank and Trust. If you want to experience real customer service without a whole lot of fuss, then go see our friends at Riverbank and Trust. Catch Tom Luganville next Monday at 8:20 here on Montgomery's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 740.
Coming up in about 15 minutes,